We begin in 1 John 4, 9 through 10. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Did y'all hear that part? Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Also, John 15 and 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Those are the words of Jesus to you and me. As the Father has loved me, He's saying, I love you. Abide in my love. Live in my love. In Marjorie Williams' book, The Velveteen Rabbit, it tells the story of a stuffed rabbit and that rabbit's desire to become real. To become real through the love of the little child that owned the rabbit. Marjorie Williams tells this imaginary story of this stuffed rabbit who came to life because its owner loved it. And the following is a conversation in the book between the rabbit and the toy horse. What is real? Asked the rabbit one day when the rabbit and the toy horse were in a nursery. The rabbit asked, does real mean having things that buzz inside you and stick out handles? Real isn't how you are made, said the horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the horse, for he was always truthful. When you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up? He asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, the horse said. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily or have sharp edges or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out. And you get loose in the joints, and you become very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly, except to the people who don't understand. This conversation between the rabbit and the horse in the nursery revealed that they could be real in this imaginary story. They could be real when they allowed someone else to really, really love them. So I ask you this morning, are you real? Are you real? Have you allowed Jesus to really, really love you? Have you allowed His supernatural love to so flow into you and through you that you're just like this lifeless stuffed toy horse and this velveteen rabbit? You've become real because of the reality of the fullness of the love of Christ in you, and you're real and you're full of life because of it. The Bible tells us that if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we realize that He is always, always, always loving you and me. He's always loving us, caring for us, just like in the imaginary story of this rabbit. Receiving His love makes us, receiving the love of Jesus makes you and I real, and it makes us alive in a way that we could never have imagined. It's an unfortunate thing that so many Christians accept the love of Christ for the remission of our sins. We accept it for our salvation. We praise Him for that. But we stop short of really, really allowing Jesus to love us each and every day. A teenager sent an orchid to his girlfriend with this note, "With all my love and most of my allowance." But you see, Jesus sends us a note. It says, "With all my love and all my resources." All the resources of heaven are behind the love that Jesus pours into us. And I love the part as we remind each other that He loves us just as we are. If the hair's rubbed off or the eyes are falling out, whatever's going on, He loves us. And we must accept that His love, it will not only save us, but it nurtures us, it blesses us, it changes us, it makes us real, it makes us alive in Christ. I will tell you, it is not the will of God for you and I to live in this static, dull state of living, this boring, uncreative, unattractive lives. That is not God's will for us at all. Let me share with you this morning three keys to really allowing Christ to love us, to make us real. The first one, to become real, you must surrender. You must surrender. Believers seem to be like the rest of the world, and they suffer in because of it, because they surrender to the wrong things. They surrender or bow to our jobs or our success or our work or our profession. We surrender or we bow to materialism and conspicuous consumption by our culture that squeezes us into its mold. Or we surrender to our passions and our lusts. Or we surrender to the desire for security. When we do that, we pursue all these things, all this other stuff, instead of Jesus, because our desire is for the other stuff, and we surrender it rather than being surrendered to Christ. My prayers this morning, God, help us to surrender to Christ's unending love, full of His provision, full of His resources. As we abide in Christ, we realize His presence is with us. His power is with us. Yes, His love is with us. We accept it, and we're changed by it. By His unending love, we're changed by that. We must surrender to become real. The second thing is that to become real, we must realize His love flows to us regardless of our circumstances. There's no strings attached to His love. It's unconditional. It's not based on anything. He loved us while we were yet sinners, the Bible tells us. Aren't you thankful for that love? Praise God. Ted Schroeder was a young preacher in his very first pastorate, his first church. He faced many challenges and problems, as all pastors do, but as a young man, many of them were new to him. And in that church that he pastored, there was a particular group of women, older ladies, who seemed to be full of criticisms and complaints, and apathy and jealousy and bickering, and all those things begin to caused this young pastor to doubt God's love. But then one day he met Grandma Sudley. Grandma Sudley was a shut-in. She could no longer attend church. And when the pastor just wanted to visit a friend, he would go visit Grandma Sudley. She would greet him always. Every time he was there, she would always greet him by asking him this question: "How are the old ladies?" She's talking about those ladies in the church causing so much grief. "How are the old ladies?" And young Ted would always answer by saying, "They're still after me." "Not me," she would say. Grandma Sudley would say, "Not me. I've had enough of getting breakfast for some lazy man." Then she would just smile at Pastor Ted. She would ask Ted to pray for her, just so he could feel like he was doing his job. But both of them knew that Grandma Sudley prayed more often and better than he ever even thought of at his young age in life. But now, this young pastor gets word that Grandma Sudley is dying. The young minister, he felt totally inadequate as he entered her hospital room. The family had gathered in her room, and they all looked at young Pastor Ted, expecting that he knew what to do and what to say. Grandma looked so tired, breathing very hard, and they had a tube in her nose and tubes and things in her arms. God help me, he silently prayed. God help me, as he stood there hoping that Grandma wouldn't wake up while he was there. But suddenly she opened her eyes, and she looked up at the young pastor, and a smile came across her lips. And she said to him, "How are your old ladies?" And he said to her in a whisper, "Still trying to get me." And now he's holding back the tears. "Not me," she said. And there was a long silence for a long period of time. After a while, she looked up at Pastor Ted and she said, "I guess I'm going to leave. I'm very tired. I've never died before." Ted is struggling now to hold back the tears. And he said, "Grandma, I've never been with someone who died before." And almost whispering, she squeezed his hand in hers and said, "I think we're going to make it, Pastor." She closed her eyes and said, "Will you listen while I pray?" And she began her prayer. "My Father, take me home because of my Jesus. And Father, take care of this young pastor. He's given me love. He's been my friend. Amen." Ted was crying now. "Thank you, Grandma." "It's all right," she said. "I'm just going to be with my friend, Jesus. Tell them out there that I'm all right." "I'll tell them, Grandma," he said. Grandma Sudley had found it. She had found the secret to being real, receiving the endless love of Jesus. Even at death's door, she could feel his love. Now a young minister had found what he had begun to doubt, that Christ's love never stops. It's never less real, even when you're in personal anguish and pain and challenges of life that might seem to dull it. It continues constantly toward us. And that takes us to the final point today. To become real, you must love others. And you become aware of the potential to bless or harm others with your words and your actions. In other words, you become more sensitive to those things. Scripture never presumes that we know how to love. And there's an abundance of verses in the Bible that provide examples and instruction to us regarding love. Let me share just a few of them with you this morning. 1 John 3:18, "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." That old saying, talk is cheap. Show your love by what you do. 3:11, "We should love one another." 3:14, "Anyone who does not love remains in death." 4:7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." 4:19, "We love because He first loved us." And 2 John in verse 5, "I ask that we love one another." Listen to what the Word of God is saying. We're being encouraged. We're being asked to love each other because Jesus' love is in us. Romans 12:10, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." What powerful words. You look at this collection of scriptures that I've shared with you this morning, they give clear commandments of how we are to show real love to each other. And with these examples in God's Word, with these clear commandments, because some of these are commandments we've just read, regarding how we treat one another, regarding how we show love and concern for one another. Considering all of that, I ask you this morning, why is it that we encounter Christians that fail to recognize that they are unloving, that they are insensitive, perhaps sometimes even mean? Have you ever encountered that? Earlier, we looked at the story of this young pastor, Ted Schroeder, who faced wilting criticisms from members of the church, confrontations and complaints, and a group of ladies were always letting him have it, so to speak. I will tell you, fortunately, as the pastor of Heritage Church, I haven't had that problem, and I'm thankful for that. But my wife certainly has, many times. One of the main characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. We try to teach that to our children, don't we? They need that lessons in their lives, self-control. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. That's for us as Christians. We can't fulfill that obligation to love without self-control. We just can't do it. But our potential, we know this is true. We know that our potential, even as Christians, to be insensitive to people is because of our lack of self-control, isn't it? Almost every time it is. There's another scripture we look at. Well, I thought I had another scripture up there. It's in my notes here, Romans 12 and 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another. We looked at that earlier. Be kindly affectionate to one another. In brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. We know the words of God. We know His teaching. But the potential to be insensitive to one another is so powerful. I know there's not a person in this church this morning who hasn't at one time or another been the recipient or the target of someone else's insensitivity. My prayer is that we will all work harder to be kindly affectionate to one another and to reach out to each other and to show our love and to show the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Self-control is a big deal. See, if we, according to the Word of God, if we remain connected to the vine, that's Jesus. That's the instructions that the Bible gives us. If we remain connected to Jesus and we're led by the Holy Spirit, then we will continually evaluate our attitudes, our behavior, and our feelings because we're sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in us if we stay connected. And the Holy Spirit will, if we're listening, the Holy Spirit will let us know when we're being unloving and indifferent and unkind and cold-hearted and insensitive and rude to someone else. A fellow by the name of Lloyd Douglas was the author of a very famous book called The Robe. And he also authored other novels. The story goes that when Lloyd Douglas was a college student, he lived in a boarding house. And downstairs on the first floor was an elderly retired music teacher. The man was now in a wheelchair and he was unable to leave his own apartment. Every single morning, Lloyd would go down the steps, open the old man's door, and ask, "Well, what's the good news?" And the old man would pick up his tuning fork. Remember, he was a music teacher. He'd pick up his tuning fork, he would tap it on the side of the wheelchair and say, "That's middle C. It was middle C yesterday, it'll be middle C tomorrow, it'll be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the street is out of tune, but my friend, that is middle C." And this ritual happened every morning. Lord would come downstairs, he'd ask the same question, and the retired music teacher would give him the same answer every morning. That wheelchair-bound old man had discovered one thing that he could depend on, one constant reality in his life. He had found one still turning point for himself in a world that was just going crazy. Now, for you and me, that still point in a turning world all around us, that still point is the constant and the deliberate and the amazing flow of the love of Jesus to you and to me. Our constant position that we can hold on to that never changes is true today, it's true tomorrow, it'll be true for 1,000 years, is the love of Christ. That is our middle sea. And we hold on to it. It's ours. It's real for us. So the Velveteen Rabbit, that cute little story, the little rabbit discovered that becoming real happened when it let a child really love it. And that even though the hair was rubbed off and his eyes was falling out, that the love continued. Remember, it said that it rarely happens to those that are easily broken or have sharp edges, such as being critical and insensitive, or those that have to be carefully kept. May the Lord help us not to allow our sharp edges, not to allow our fragile egos, if you would, to get in the way, to keep us from really receiving the love of Christ and giving that love and showing that love to folks around us. And this beautiful story of a stuffed rabbit that supposedly became real, came to life because the owner loved it, it's a love that was received and wanted again and again and again as you read this story. So I conclude this sermon this morning by asking once again, are you letting Jesus really love you? Are you letting His love be real to you and to flow into you that you can count on it? You know it's there. Are you letting that love just pour into your heart so that it's just overflowing and there's no room in your life to be insensitive or to be unkind? So I ask you again in closing today, are you real? Are you real? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the love that is unconditional, the love that which there's no strings attached, the love that is unmerited, that we don't deserve. Oh, Father, that love that You showed to us through Jesus, and how, Jesus, You continue to just pour Your love into our hearts day after day, a constant deliberate flow into us. Oh, remind us of that. Remind us of the promises of that in Your Word. Let us desire to live in Your love. Let us desire to be overflowing with Your love. Let us desire to really, really be loved by You. Let it change us. Let it make us sensitive and soft-hearted and loving to those around us, and to not have those hard edges about us. Oh, Father, let Your love fill each of our lives in such a powerful way that we communicate that love to those around us. They can see it. They know we're different, and that we love them no matter what the situation may be, with that unconditional love through which You've loved us. We ask this in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord, for Your love. Amen. 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 Praise God.